Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Last time we were together, we started to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and let's look at the passage verses 13 through 18 together. The Word of God says this, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, this is a great passage on the rapture, the catching away of the saints. That's the next prophetic event on God's calendar, when the Lord returns for the body of Christ. And of course, this goes along with that other great passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 52. Notice that the Lord's return is supposed to be a comfort. And my dear listeners, if it isn't, then something is wrong. Amen. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 9. In the Word of God says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a good verse to use in showing people that Christians are not appointed to go through the great tribulation. The great tribulation, my dear listener, is a time of wrath. Amen. Is a time of wrath. Notice also in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 7 what it says. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And then in Revelation chapter 16 verse 1 it says, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So we see the great tribulation is a time of wrath. So the body of Christ, we are not appointed to it. Amen. We are not appointed to it. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. And the Word of God says this, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we have here is just some good little verses at the close of Paul's letter that contain some noteworthy instructions. Well worth marking in your Bible. And also verse 23 of First Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it shows that each and every one of us is made up, has a spirit, has a soul, and has a body. Amen. All right, let's move on to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 3. And we're going to read down to verse 12. It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken away." Verse 8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Verse 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." What we have here is this whole passage deals with the coming Antichrist and how God will allow him to deceive the unbelieving world. Apparently, he will enter into the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and demand to receive worship as God. He will either be the abomination of desolation himself, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, or he will be honored by an idol to himself in the temple, which will be the abomination. Amen. Revelation chapter 13, verse 14 says, "And deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." Now, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. And we read here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, the Word of God says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." In a nutshell, if a man doesn't work, then he doesn't deserve to eat. Amen. And if a man is disabled and cannot work physically for conscience sake, he can still work in Bible study and prayer and equip himself to be a useful and productive member of society. Others, though not employed at a standard job, can still hand out or mail out tracts, assist in ministry work, start a telephone ministry, etc. If you receive a check from society and you ought, then you owe it to society to give something back. even if it's only picking up trash along the highway. Everyone, my dear friends, can do something. Amen. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy. We're going to move on as we're looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. And we just looked at some noteworthy verses in 2 Thessalonians. And now we're going to move on to the book of 1 Timothy and look at some noteworthy verses there. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the Word of God says, "And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Amen. See, it's a great memory verse and well worth marking, amen. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, Paul the Apostle said, "Of whom I am chief," amen, chief of sinners. We're all sinners. That's why Christ had to come into this world to save you and I from going to a lake of fire. Now let's look at 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the Word of God says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." You notice, as some religions teach, amen, the mediator between God and men is Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's not what it says here. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." See, since there's only one mediator between God and men, there's no room left for Mary to be the Catholic mediator that Rome promotes. Nor does this leave any room for the Catholic priesthood that claims to mediate for people. The only approved priesthood for today is the church as a whole, all believers, under the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 Peter 2, 5 tells us, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Alrighty, let's continue as we're looking at some noteworthy verses in the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, the Word of God says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Amen. So this verse, with the next one, makes it very clear that God doesn't want women serving as pastors. Amen? So we see now, and then we move into 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 14. And here we have, this passage is worth marking in your Bible as it lists the qualifications for a bishop or a pastor. Amen. Just like when you have a job description, you apply for a job. Amen. They all have things for that particular job that they're looking for, the qualifications that tell that you can do the job. But here are the qualifications, very important here, for a bishop or a pastor. And it begins, it says, this is a true saying, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So being a pastor, according to the word of God, is a good work. And it says a bishop then must be blameless. Didn't say sinless, but blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Amen. Not a novice. Why? Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. You need someone who's seasoned, who's proven, who's tried. Too many times people are put in positions of authority they shouldn't be there. They like the position, they like the authority, but don't want any of the responsibility. And oftentimes, hey, their attitude is, look at me, I'm the pastor, or I'm such and such. And that's pride. That's the sin that made Lucifer, the devil, fall. Verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Amen. And then it goes on, and in that chapter, and it continues to talk. It says, likewise, must the deacons, gives the qualifications of the deacon, must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith and pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and then let them use the office of deacon, being found blameless. Even so, and here it is, it's talking about not only the deacon, but the wives of deacons. Even so must their wives be gray, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Very important, amen, that the qualifications for both a pastor and a deacon, amen, if your church is calling a man to be their pastor, amen, these are the qualifications that he needs to be able to carry out that position. Amen. And so this passage should be very familiar to each and every one of you listening. It's very important. Now we move on to 1 Timothy. We're still in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 16. And the word of God says this, in without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Here we have one of the seven mysteries of God. And I have a study that I've done on the seven mysteries, if you'd like it. Just request it at the address given at the end of the broadcast. But what I want us to see is this verse is changed in all the new Bible perversions by throwing out the word God. Rather than stating that God was manifest in the flesh, The new translations say only he who was manifest in the flesh, or something similar. So God has been thrown out of the verse. Amen. Very important. God himself was manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's the spirit, what we read here, of the times in which you and I live. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Those who fail to acknowledge this, most Laodicean churches, for instance, are likely to fall prey to it. We are in the latter times. Amen. And many are departing from the faith. Amen. They're departing from the faith. And where are they going? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Things that apply, you know, things that appeal to the flesh. Amen. You know, how to get rich. Amen. How to, do, you know, got the social gospel, the gospel of prosperity. Amen. All of these seducing spirits that appeal to the flesh. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6. It says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. This is a great verse, my dear listeners, for all Christian ladies to remember. Continually coveting or shopping for new clothes, new makeup, new hairstyles is not the kind of life that God has for Christian ladies. Such a lifestyle amounts to living in pleasure rather than bearing a cross for Jesus. And a woman who lives in pleasure is dead according to the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And we read this. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So my dear listeners, according to this verse, it isn't the government's job to provide for your family. It's your job. Amen. Men listening today, it's your job as a head of household to provide. Amen. But the so-called liberals, the left, they want man to be more and more dependent on government. And it's ungodly. God wants you as head of the household to provide for your family. It's your responsibility. Amen. Alrighty, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. We read this. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word in doctrine. Now, what I want us to see is this. Church leaders are to be highly respected, not made the subjects of gossip and slander, even more so with those who labor in the Word of God. Today's churches have it all backwards. Honoring those who give the most, promote themselves the most, or bring the most visitors. The Word of God takes a back seat in most modern churches today. Amen. Let's move on to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 23. And we read this. Drink, it says, no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmity. And of course, Paul was writing to Timothy. Seems that Timothy must have had some stomach ailments here. And we won't want to notice that Paul advised Timothy to use a little wine for his stomach and infirmities. He did not tell him to drink wine for any purpose, only to use a little for medicinal purposes. Notice also what it says in Proverbs chapter 31 in verse 6 through 7. The Word of God says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Okay, let's move on to, as we're looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, and right now we're looking at some noteworthy verses in the book of 1 Timothy. And now we're going to look at 1 Timothy in chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and are certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. Now, this is a great passage on being content, my dear listeners, and not lusting for riches. And no, it is the love of money, not money itself, that is the root of all evil. Amen. And then let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. It says here, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. The warning is not against being rich, but against trusting in riches. So we're just about run out of time here today on the pastor study. And we're going to continue next time we come together to look at some noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Remember, my dear listeners, once we get through with this study, it'll be available on a CD. Just drop me a line at the end of the broadcast and replace it. And those that are listening today, if you haven't already, invite you to join my website. It's All the Counsel of God, all the words run together, allthecounselofgod.com. Till we meet again, my prayers that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.